It is The Drive, ESPN 93.5. Kyle Tosk holding down the fort here as Lonte gets his weekend started a little early. He's going to catch some baseball. Andrew Tay on the bump today. Good luck to him. And that's where Lon will be spending his 4 o'clock hour on Friday, leaving me home, leaving me here in the studio. But we will get you some Brad Underwood along with Dane Danger and Marcus Damask post-game after the win over Morehead State yesterday a little bit later on. But first, let's get you updated on some scores from throughout the NCAA tournament here today. Been a lot of intriguing battles so far today. Of course, if you don't want to hear these, if you're waiting to get back and watch these for yourself, might be the right time to turn the dial. But Northwestern knocks off Florida Atlantic in overtime. Big Ten 3-0 start to the NCAA tournament so far. Northwestern led for most of the game. They had leads of up to 8, 9, 10 in the second half, and Florida Atlantic came back, took a late lead with about a minute to go. Northwestern found a way to get it to overtime. Brooks Barnheiser with a layup with about 10 seconds left, and then Northwestern unconscious in OT. Ryan Langborg, I believe, had 3 threes in overtime, and Northwestern outscores FAU 19-7 in that extra period, win 77-65. So final four team from last year, the Florida Atlantic Owls are out. Northwestern will take on UConn on Sunday. Baylor takes care of Colgate by 25, 92-67. Jalen Bridges for them, 23 points. So Baylor looks to be on the way to take on Clemson, should Clemson hold on here in the last 7 minutes or so of the game they're playing right now. San Diego State survives UAB by 4, 69-65. UAB had a nice second-half comeback to take a lead there late, but Jadon Ladie, one of the better players in the country for San Diego State, he is quite the beast down low, 32 points and 8 boards, nearly half of San Diego State's points, and the Aztecs, they were defending runner-ups, are on to the round of 32 as well, despite a scare from UAB. Marquette, the score doesn't look like it, but they had to hang on, scratch and claw their way to a win over Western Kentucky, 87-69. They were down 7 at halftime. Western Kentucky went on a late first-half flurry there, but ultimately Marquette outscores them 51-26 in the second half. Tyler Kolek, 18 points, 11 assists. He's back and healthy now. Didn't really get a chance to catch much of that game, so I couldn't tell if he was out there moving normally or if he looks 100% healthy, but the stat line indicates that he is healthy, and Marquette might be a dangerous team there with Kentucky out in that little pod of the South region there. Marquette has a chance to go to an Elite Eight and really make a run here for the first time under Shaka Smart, so that should be interesting. Couple games going on right now. As I mentioned, Clemson blowing New Mexico out. I have to admit, I had New Mexico making a little run in my bracket, and that is not going to happen for the Lobos as Clemson leads 69-49 with 4:45 to play in that one. UConn absolutely demolishing Stetson, 83-47 right now. My pick to repeat is national champs. I know a lot of people have it out there. They get off to a red-hot start to their tournament. Auburn leading Yale 29-23. That one's still in the first half with about 7 minutes to go. And Colorado just took a 31-30 lead. That's the one I'm tracking, watching live here in the studio over Florida with 5:32 to go. So those are the ones that are happening right now. How about the night slate tonight? 8 games. Texas A&M Nebraska at 5:50 on TNT. That's going to be a fun one. Keisei Tominaga and co., that Nebraska team that had a heck of a year in the Big Ten, got the 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, were red hot in the first half against Illinois. They'll take on a Texas A&M team also playing pretty well. They went on a nice run in the SEC tournament. That should be one of the more fun games of this first round there at 5:50. Duke and Vermont, 6:10 p.m. CBS. See if Vermont can put the pressure on Duke and try to pull an upset bid there. A Duke team that I have losing in the next round. I don't really believe in this team all that much, but it is Duke. It is a team with a bunch of 5-star guys, and we'll see if they can handle Vermont. Purdue and Grambling State, 6:25 on TBS. Can Purdue actually knock off a 16 seed this year? we will see. My prediction for that one, Purdue wins by 57. They are going to take out some anger on Grambling. Sorry, guys. Nice win on Wednesday night in the first four over Montana State, but my personal prediction is Purdue is going to play angry tonight, and they're going to exercise some demons from last year over this Grambling State team. But who knows? Never know. Maybe if Grambling State makes a couple shots there early, Purdue could get a little tight. They're going to have some thoughts going through their head, but I think Purdue should take care of that one easy. Alabama-Charleston, interesting game, kind of a trendy upset pick, 6:35 on True TV tonight. That could be an interesting one, two high-powered offensive teams, two teams who take a lot of threes. Bet the over on that one, even though it's up at 173.5 right now. That's got to be one of the highest totals ever in the tournament. Jeez, that is a big number, but should be a lot of offense in that one. And then kind of that second late-night window kicks off with Houston and Longwood, 8:20. I'd imagine not a whole lot of interest in that one. Houston should have their way with Longwood there in Memphis. Wisconsin and James Madison, though, very interesting game, 8:40 on CBS. I got the Dukes going on to the Sweet 16 in my bracket. I think James Madison is pretty awesome team. And Wisconsin, even though they played great in the Big Ten tournament, I think they could be in for a battle, although I know a lot of people said that about McNeese last night, and they got boat raced by Gonzaga. So we'll see if Wisconsin can do the same tonight. Utah State and TCU, 8:09 game, 8:55 on TBS. That should be an interesting game as well. I'm going TCU in that game in my personal bracket, but really a toss-up. TCU 3.5-point favorite there. That one's going to be an Indy. Winner will most likely take on Purdue, as long as Purdue takes care of Grambling. So that should be a fun one. And then the final game of the night on True TV from Spokane, St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. I think this has a potential to be a quite the interesting game as well. Grand Canyon team that's 29-4. Their guard, Tyon Grant Foster, is an awesome story. He collapsed in the locker room when he was at DePaul a couple years ago, and for a minute thought that he might not make it past that. Now here he is at leading Grand Canyon to the tournament against St. Mary's. That's going to be a fun one, fun story there. And that is the night slate tonight. That is your NCAA tournament update from today. So some great hoops coming up, and can't wait for the weekend as well. Round of 32, obviously Illinois, as Lon mentioned earlier, 7:40 p.m. Central tip-off from Omaha tomorrow night against Duquesne. And we will get you some post-game from yesterday, Illinois-Moorhead State, coming up after the break. So stick with us. Brad Underwood, Dane Danger, Marcus Damask after the win over Moorhead State yesterday when we return. This is The Drive.
This is Eddie Clare, president of Paul's. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Paul's is looking for experienced fabricators and millwrights to join our team on both first and second shifts. We have a great benefit package, including 2 weeks of paid vacation from day one, a company bonus, health, vision, dental for you and for your family, a 401k with a match. We also offer tuition reimbursement and on-the-job training programs for less experienced fabricators and millwrights. Let Paul's create big possibilities for you, your career, and your life. Apply online at paulsmachine.com.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
computer systems to brakes and tires too. At PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Well, obviously, you feel good anytime you get a win in the NCAA tournament. It was kind of an inconspicuous start, being down 9-0 in the first minute and a half. I actually thought we played okay after that. We're up 1 at half, and so it's a kind of a plus 10 for the rest of the half. But I give Moorhead a lot of credit. They are extremely well coached. They have very, very good players. Riley Minix, coming from the NAIA level, doing what he's done this season is nothing short of spectacular. It just goes to show there's great players everywhere. You know, we recruited Jordan Lathan, so we knew he was a good player. But that's a very good team, and obviously they had a great, great season. So I thought we had a great spurt in the first half, kind of get it up 7 or 8. I thought that Dane's insertion in the game was obviously critical. He had 21 season high. And then, you know, the all-around game of Marcus. I think somebody told me he's the 10th player in NCAA tournament history to have a triple-double. That's a pretty special night. So very, very solid. Luke Goody was tremendous off the bench, not just offensively making threes, but his defense I thought was very, very good. He provided great energy, and I thought that Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn was spectacular in the first half at both ends of the court. So survive in advance. We move on, and excited about the opportunity to take on a great Duquesne team.
We'll start right here on the left-hand side, gentlemen.
Adam Teicher, ESPN, this is for you, Brad. Shannon's played, he's been particularly productive lately, and again today in the first half. How do you explain the way he's played lately? And I'll have one quick follow-up as well.
Well, one, there's nobody that works harder than him. So success doesn't surprise me when you work as hard as Terrence does. When he gets... he gets most of those points just kind of through the flow. We don't run a lot to him. We don't run a lot of actions. We don't have to. But he gets going in transition. He's special. He gets going to the foul line. Tonight was a quiet night for him at the foul line, 5 of 6. But when he's making threes, he's awfully good. So nothing surprises me with Terrence. I think he's one of the best players in the country, and he's been proving that here in this stretch.
I wanted to also get your thoughts on that play he made early in the second half. He dove for that loose ball and threw it off the Moorhead kid.
You know, it's and these guys will tell you, I've been preaching for a month about the 50-50 balls, diving on the floor for a loose ball. And I tell the story, I didn't go to the Sweet 16 at Stephen F. Austin because of we didn't dive on the floor for a loose ball. Those are the plays that separate you. And when you're arguably your best player does that, it means a lot. Everybody else has got to step up to that.
Got a question on the aisle, then two in the front row here. Go, please.
Mike Patterson, Omaha World Herald. Dane, just talk about your game, especially the second half.
Yeah, know, try to come out, you know, do whatever I can to help the team win, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, whether it was me rim running or rebounding, you know, I just want to do whatever it takes to help the team win. This is a team effort, so we're in it together.
Tim Benz from Pittsburgh Tribune Review, Trib Live, and Duquesne Radio. Brad, this question is for you. Duquesne just played a BYU team that, like you guys, is very comfortable playing and winning in the 80s. They're really good when they get to 70 first. What do you expect in terms of a contrasting style against Duquesne when you see them next?
Well, I didn't watch hardly any of that game, and I do know this. I know how well they're coached. I have so much respect. I've done a lot of clinics over the years with Keith. I've known him back since my junior college days, and I know his teams are extremely tough. I know they're going to fight. To me, that was not an upset. That was not shocking. You know, the Atlantic 10's a tremendous league, and I think they started 0-5, if I'm not correct. If I'm correct. And then to get to this position, that's on a coach. That's on a coach leading his players in the right direction. So we know we've got a tough game, and you know, they did a great job. It looks like numerically from the 3-point line and taking that away from BYU. So yeah, we'll have to play well, no doubt.
Right in front.
It's for Marcus and Brad. What is Dane giving you in this postseason? Seems like the last 4-6 weeks he's just turned it up.
Marcus, you're first, please, then Brad.
Yeah, Dane he gives us a presence down low. You know, obviously with Coleman at the five, it's a different look. So when Dane comes in, our team kind of changes, and it makes teams adapt to what we do. And then, you know, like 9-for-9 is insane. You know, he went 9-for-9. Just the efficiency is off the charts. And then even defensively, like, I know he's been blocking shots a lot better. Just his overall presence down low is just a hassle for teams.
Well, 8 rebounds, the block shots. We know Dane can score. Dane's always been a very, very capable scorer. But his presence, his physicality, we're not here or not winning a Big Ten championship without him, what he did last weekend. And just the simple things that he's doing, they're not all post-ups. They're rim runs. They're offensive rebounds. That's doing what we ask. That's being extremely coachable, and our team does take on a different personality. You've seen, you know, Coleman slide to the four and be able to guard perimeter guys a little bit. So his presence in the paint has been very impactful.
All right, we've got two questions on this side. We're going to go back to Harry over here, and then possibly you right there. Go.
Anderson Kimball, Decatur Herald Review. Marcus, I know a lot of the half court offenses run through you, but at least 3 assists in the past 3 games. What's kind of allowed your playmaking to kind of go to a higher level?
Well, I think it starts with just guys hitting shots. You know, you get assists when the guys hit shots. So when guys hit shots, assists kind of rack up. But other than that, I'm just trying to play within the game, play in the flow of the game, and take what the defense gives me. I just try to not force anything and just make the right decisions.
Right-hand side.
Brian Teague, CS Hoop Sports. This question is for Brad. Brad, you've talked a lot about Draven and just how hard he's worked. Can you just talk about his mindset, just the for a guy that hasn't played much this season to in the Big Ten title game, nailed a big shot, and then today, 2 big threes and played really solid defense for you?
Yeah, it's amazing what confidence does. And that's a two-way street, my confidence in him. I like what he does defensively as much as what he does offensively. And I've said it for a long time. I think he's a terrific shooter. Both of these guys will tell you he gives us fits on the scouting team and on the scout team in terms of preparation. He's earned the right. He's really talented. He's still learning the game, but I didn't have any problem putting him in today.
Right-hand side.
Julio Arceo with KCSR. Coach, you mentioned about preaching, and Duquesne were pretty proud of themselves in terms of battling for the 50-50 ball. Are you expecting another sermon tonight in terms of preaching to the guys the importance of 50-50 balls, eliminating second chance points against a team that yeah. show they're capable of doing that.
Absolutely. We have a saying in our program. It's a moniker we live by, everyday guys. So absolutely, I'm gonna preach those things. And it's this time of year when you don't do those things that you can go home. In a you know, their game today was a very, very close game. It's a one or two possession game. I did see the one play I saw. It just happened to be the side out of bounds play. They stole the ball. Those things are huge. And you know, Keith has not been successful as a head coach because his teams don't do those things. So we're going to have to match that nasty and that grit. And so we'll start preaching that tomorrow when we get together again.
We're under 3 minutes to go. Harry's up.
Marcus, wanted to ask you, is this the reason, really, you came here from Southern Illinois? You wanted to play in this kind of stage and these kind of games?
Yeah, it is. Through the portal and in the process, you know, me and Coach pretty much just had conversations about winning big games in March. You know, that was the number one thing that I was looking for in the school. And I trusted Coach and felt like we had the opportunity to do that here. So this is the time that, you know, all the time you put in the gym pays off.
Right there.
Quickly, for Marcus, and then I have one for Dane also. But Marcus, when was the last time you had a triple-double?
High school, senior year of high school, I had a couple.
Okay. And Dane, did you have any point during the season when you had to kind of get yourself over a hump just in terms of your outlook, because, you know, you weren't playing as much as you wanted to? Did you struggle at any point?
No, I actually didn't. You know, it was just, for me, it was just like the energy I was bringing to the team, you know, which started in practice. You know, I kept myself up by doing things off the court, you know, with Fletch, just being in shape, you know, doing workouts, extra cardio before and after practice. Just those little things kept me going.
We have time for two questions, one here, one in the back.
Brad, have you figured out the slower starts digging the holes yet, or have you seen anything that's similar from these last couple games?
Yeah, we're going to get a different pregame speech than what I gave today and at Ohio State and Nebraska. So that one's 0-3. I failed these guys in that area. So, no, we've got to avoid those. We've got to avoid those. They're smart. They understand that. But it's something that we can't have moving forward. That's on me. That's my job to get them bouncing off the ceilings here as we go. And we did that the last regular season game at Iowa, so we know we're capable.
Final question.
Okay. Eric Olson with the Associated Press. Marcus, could you kind of elaborate a little bit on your feelings about getting that triple-double? It's only been done now 10 times in the NCAA tournament, and just to do it on this stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a cool accomplishment, you know, to kind of have my name up there with some of the greats, and just, you know, such few people have done it so far. So it's a great accomplishment, but, you know, I'm at this point in my career, I'm really past all the personal accolades, and at this point in March, it's all about winning, and that's really all I'm trying to do.
Great stuff there from Marcus Dane and, of course, Brad Underwood. Marcus the Mask Man, triple-double in the NCAA tournament, 10th one ever. Just awesome. On a day where Morehead State was trying to double him like 18 feet away from the basket, and he was moving the ball and just had a great floor game, did a little bit of everything, and awesome to hear him say stuff like that, triple-double's cool, but we're trying to win a national title here at Illinois, and if Illinois is to go far, he's going to be a big part of that. Let's see if I can read one of these as eloquently as Lante can. Busey's Money Manager, part of the online and mobile e-banking platforms, is a powerful tool that allows you to visualize and better understand your finances through a variety of features. These include cash flow, a visualization of spending and income trends, allowing you to better manage your finances on a daily to 90-day view. Spending Donut, the mobile-friendly interactive spending wheel that shows your spending by percentage and total amount in designated categories over a 1 week to 6 month view. Create a customized budget, a variety of customizable views. That means your budget is easy to create, visualize, and control. This feature also provides insight on how to track financial targets while controlling spending. Track net worth. Track your net worth, retirement planning, and overall wealth management in one place a feature that allows you to visualize all your assets in one place and track net worth over a monthly to yearly view. Busey is proud to offer convenient digital banking platforms that enhance their customers' user experience. Visit Busey.com to get started today. Busey, member FDIC. Derek Piper joins the show after the break.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
I'm Lily Ott. I'm a certified nurse midwife at OSF Healthcare. I see patients in some of the clinics that we are now opening, including in Urbana, Forsyth, Pontiac, Bloomington, and eventually Lincoln, and doing deliveries for women in Bloomington at OSF Healthcare there. Being a nurse midwife today is seeing women through all of their life. So seeing women, pre-puberty through menopause, specializing in pregnant women and and providing prenatal care, and then getting to deliver babies at the hospital setting with our patients that we've, you know, established the relationship with throughout their pregnancy. Yeah, I feel like one of the big misconceptions with midwives is that we don't deliver in a hospital setting and that we don't support pain management, which is not true. We deliver babies at the hospital setting, and we support women in any way that they choose to have their babies. So whether that be with an epidural, without an epidural, we're there to support no matter what they decide and kind of just help their labor be what they want it to look like.
It is The Drive, ESPN 93.5. Kyle Tosk here with you, holding down the fort as Lante steps out to catch some high school baseball. We got a couple games at halftime right now. Auburn, 7-point lead over Yale, and Florida and Colorado tied at 45. That was an entertaining half. I had an eye on it here in studio, so that should be a fun finish there. But let me turn to Omaha, Nebraska, and the Illini with Derek Piper, who joins the show now. Pipes, how you doing? How's Omaha treating you, sir?
Omaha's been good, man. It's a little bit more chilly today, cloudy, below 40 degrees, but they play basketball inside for a reason. So hanging around the arena as we've done each and every day, had press here a few hours ago, getting some of the riding done, and gearing up to go out and have a steak and enjoy some of the eateries and some of the things that this city has to offer. So it's been a good host site. I think that it's been fun for the fans, seeing a nice, decent contingent for Illinois. Of course, you got a lot of Iowa State fans in the area as well. And it's been a good time so far. Can't complain about covering the tournament, and we'll get into it. But, man, Illinois needs to be going to Boston. It's time to get that Sweet 16, as we continue to reemphasize, and catching that break with BYU going down. Not saying Duquesne's going to be easy, but to play a 14 and then to play an 11, and the way that Illinois continues to show, like, this should be the time.
Yeah, me and Lon were talking about it in the first hour, just about how much – obviously, you beat Morehead State, you beat Duquesne, and go to the Sweet 16, assuming that would happen on Saturday. And you're expected to do that. This team should do that. And this team has a higher ceiling than that, too. I think we both agreed that Sweet 16 is far from the ceiling from this roster. And I think we've talked about that plenty this year. But won't it just feel a little bit bigger for this program if Illinois is able to beat Duquesne on Saturday, and you got another week of basketball to preview, and you're in that second weekend for the first time in 19 years. Isn't it just going to feel a little bit different for Illinois and the fan base, and just kind of be a huge weight lifted off everybody's shoulders?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I definitely think that that's the case, and it will feel like maybe a little bit of a karmic, just kind of a give and take, so to speak, where you had some tough draws with Loyola and then Houston, which, again, that's not to excuse the performance, especially against Loyola as a one seed, and then now maybe the things break your way where you get that favorable draw as a three. And that really also goes back to the positioning that Illinois put themselves in with being the second-best team in the Big Ten and going on that run in March, leading up to Selection Sunday to get 5 quad one wins just in that month alone, about a 2.5-week span. So they allowed themselves to be on that three line. And I know we talked about BYU potentially being a tough draw as a six, but regardless of who you played, to finally get back to a spot in the second weekend where you haven't been in almost 20 years, which is just, it's crazy to think about. And through Brad's tenure, he's checked off a lot of the since 2005 boxes, and that was as far as winning a Big Ten regular season title, winning a Big Ten tournament title, getting one seed, and all that they've done in terms of milestones during Brad's tenure, especially here in the last 4 to 5 years, has usually hit the marks of best since that D. Brown, Darren Williams, Luther Head, and so on and so forth. So this is that next big box, and it's a huge one to check. And I agree with you. I think we can have the conversation of how satisfied would fans be if that's where it ends. I think that people would still feel like that there was more meat on the bone, more potential in this team. You know, I fully agree with you guys that this team at their best is better than a Sweet 16. But for Brad, who hasn't gotten there, he's had some good teams even prior to Illinois, to be at SFA, and then to make the second round a couple of times, and a coach that's won a lot of games but hasn't been to that second weekend, and for the spotlight that gets put on you when you make it there, for the extra days that your fan base can enjoy it, for just to know that you're at that destination that's really at the doorstep of the Final Four. You go to another site, you win two games, you come out of that, then you're on your way to that next echelon of the Final Four. So I think that's really, really important. And on that note, kind of as a final thought to that, I will say that the players really made sure to let it be known today that, you know, they're not thinking about the history part of it. I'm glad that they aren't. I think that's, they should be focused on themselves, and, you know, they want this for this team, not to try to right the wrongs of, you know, 19 years in the past, or even back to 21. This is about this year and making sure that they play up to their standards and get as far as they think they can go. But there's no doubt the fan base, and also I think that for Brad in particular, for his own coaching story, this would be massive for both of those angles to get to a Sweet 16.
Let's talk about yesterday. Illinois obviously takes down Morehead State behind a big second half. It was little nerve-wracking there for about 25 minutes. Morehead State hung around, got off to such a hot start to the game, and Illinois kind of just clawed their way back, and then a huge surge in the second half to where Illinois was able to really pull away. What do you think, from your eyes, kind of flipped there at the midway portion of the second half that allowed Illinois to really take full control of yesterday's game?
I think it was Brad recognizing what lineups are working the most, understanding that you weren't getting a lot out of Quincy Guerrier, that Ty Rogers, for whatever reason, just seemed a little jittery. I mean, he had some just fumbles of the ball and wasn't a guy that was giving you a whole lot yesterday, that Justin Harmon continues to be someone that has not provided a whole lot. So I do give Brad credit late in the first half of throwing Dagage Lawhorn out there. I thought he gave a nice spark in terms of making some corner threes, and then rationing up some of the defensive intensity that he brought. And then, of course, second half, you have Dane Danger just completely go off. I mean, you go on an 18-5 run, and Dane has 15 of those points. And, I mean, he's just continued to come on over the last few weeks and playing with his confidence. And, I mean, some of the moves he's making from around the free throw line, extended and kind of jab stepping and spinning and scoring and running the floor too. I mean, that was a hell of a play where Terrence finds him in transition and he throws it down, and you see the reaction on his face and just the way the team is rallying around him. So I thought Dane changed the game with his ability to score it, with his ability to play defense around the paint. You look at some of the numbers, and Morehead State only made 5 shots at the rim yesterday, but only one of those came when Dane was on the court. So he's plus 27 in the plus minus for a reason. I thought Luke Goody coming in and making threes, being a guy that there were possessions where he was matched up on Riley Minix, which I thought, number one, that's a darn good player, a guy that comes from NAIA and the OVC Player of the Year, and he was impressive, and he had it going. I mean, he was confident. He was making bank shots like Tim Duncan, and being able to step out and hit a three or two, and just seeing the way he was rolling, he's like, oh boy, Illinois could be in for it. But Luke competed defensively. He made those threes, and it allowed Illinois, which it seemed like they were maybe feeling some of the, I don't know if pressure is the right way to say it, but maybe just some of the jitters early and trying to get comfortable in a game like that where heightened stakes, new arena and whatnot. So I think that I shared the feelings of a lot of Illini fans of just like, oh man, this is a tight game, early second half, you're down by two. I feel like you're in a situation where you were hoping Morehead State wouldn't get comfortable, and they looked very comfortable and confident. Their fans were going, and they had some scorers like Lathan and Thelwell and Minix could all make shots and go make plays. But fortunately, you know, their offense kind of dried up, and Illinois really was able to hit the gas pedal. I thought Dane was a huge reason for that. Obviously, Terrence is just pretty much an automatic 25-plus any given game. And I know that Marcus, at the end of the game, has a triple-double, which is something that is wild. And he really was able to get going offensively in the second half. First, earlier on, I felt like he struggled to finish around the basket. So Illinois has shown that spurtability in the second half here recently. They once again had one of those big runs that was a game decider. And I circle back to Dane as a guy that has become a big X factor for Illinois. And if he continues to play like this, it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor.
Yeah, how about Marcus Damask? I mean, a triple-double. It was one of the quieter triple-doubles you'll find. You kind of looked up after all the chaos and the huge run in the second half, and it's like, oh, Damask has 11 rebounds and 10 assists. He needs a couple more buckets for a triple-double. It does feel like, though, that he's really stepped it up as a passer and as a playmaker here recently, and that's kind of been a product of how teams have tried to guard him and really try to send two guys at him like 17, 18 feet from the bucket. What have you kind of seen from him here recently and the increase in assist numbers that we've seen in the postseason from him that have allowed him to put up some of these stat sheet stuffing lines, even when maybe his shot isn't falling or he's not getting the same type of looks that he's had at times this year?
Yeah, I think it's the beauty of Illinois' offense. And obviously he's got to be a high IQ player and someone that's skilled to make the right plays with the ball. And that's something that, go back to his time at SIU and put up some pretty good assist numbers, especially considering he was primarily playing the four for them. So he's a guy that is able to see the floor well. He's obviously played in a lot of college basketball, so I just feel like the game is never sped up for him. So he's able to make good decisions. And as far as Illinois' offensive scheme, though, usually, you know, a lot of offenses out there, if you take away their fastball or you try to take away what their initial action is, you can really bother them. For Illinois, they play out of that. They use that to their advantage. If you want to take Damask in the post and send two guys at him, that leaves somebody open. They play out of that. They have cutting. They have ability to make three-pointers out of that. So I just think that's a big credit to him. And there's a lot on his plate. There is a lot on his plate to handle some of the ball handling stuff that you wouldn't have anticipated going into the season. I know we all sat there in the summer and wondered, you know, who's going to play point guard? How are they going to make this work? And if you would have told us back then, it was like, Ty Rogers isn't really playing point guard, then we'd probably all be saying, well, what the heck are they doing? What they're doing is putting the ball in Damask's hands and getting some really good production out of him. So I think that he just knows where the openings are. He knows when doubles are coming and how to operate out of that. And then I think his rebounding too has been something really to speak of. Is, you know, I know that Brad challenged him earlier in the season where there'd be games where he only had maybe one or two rebounds, and he's really been somebody that's been such a constant of going to the glass, especially here of late. That's one of those where I'm sitting there courtside with the live stats pulled up, and I'm like, he has how many boards? Late first half and he has five, so he's really been in triple-double territory the last few games and finally got one. And to join just a rare class of player. I mean, I saw the stat, I think only 10 guys. He's the 10th guy to pull off a NCAA tournament triple-double, and the last one was John Morant. I mean, that's crazy for someone who just didn't have a lot of notoriety and spotlight coming, you know, in the portal. He wasn't thought to be, oh, this is going to be really one of the new needle moving gets for whoever lands him. It was a little bit more under the radar, but boy, he's made a very memorable splash for the Illini with what he's done.
All right, the stage is set for tomorrow night, 7:40. We do not have to have the whole, oh, Illinois got screwed. Look at this tough draw, because you actually catch an NCAA tournament break for once, and that Duquesne knocks off BYU. So Illinois-Duquesne tomorrow night. Now, this is a Duquesne team that appears to be pretty red hot, having won 9 in a row and obviously running through the A-10 tournament to even get here and then beating a high-powered BYU offense. What can you tell us about this Duquesne team? I know you were able to catch a little bit of their game against BYU that preceded the Illinois game yesterday, but what are some of the keys to this matchup going to be for Illinois, and how can they break down this Duquesne defense and advance on to Boston?
Yeah, they're tough. And they are playing with a lot of confidence right now, and got some extra motivation knowing that their coach is going to hang them up after this run is done. So they're trying to be one of those Cinderella stories that we always see in the NCAA tournament, and Illinois definitely can't look past them. I think that Brad is obviously emphasizing in particular what they do defensively and how disruptive they can be. You know, they're top 50 in the country and defensive efficiency. They do a good job of turning you over. I think it's really with their ball pressure. They can kind of just take you out of your stuff and make you really extend out as far as what your ball handlers are having to face. And Jimmy Clark, being a point guard for them, is top 10 in the country in steals out there in the NCAA. And they just want to make you grind possession after possession. You look at the tempo they play with. Defensively, their metrics say that they make you play deep into the shot clock. They don't allow a lot of quick hitters as far as the offense goes. And Illinois will try to push that tempo up, and maybe that's getting them in transition before their half-court defense can really set. But I think that's something that if you're Illinois, you do wonder about, can you take care of the ball well enough? Can you not get just taken out of your game and out of sorts and not be too sloppy with the ball? Because there have been times where Illinois has been too loose with it and turned it over too much. And Brad and both the players today were referencing Penn State as a team that they kind of reminded them of in terms of what they do defensively. And you go back to that game, State College, Illinois had 18 turnovers. So they have guys that are getting their hands in passing lanes and getting up in you when you have it as the ball handler. So I think that's going to be something to really watch for. And offensively, Duquesne, Not a high-powered team by any means. They got some guys that can make threes. I mentioned Jimmy Clark. Day-Day Grant's another guy that has shot over 200 three-point attempts this season, and I think he's made 12 or something like that over the last three games. So you got to watch out for that. I think also just they're one of those scrappy teams that I know even their numbers don't say they don't kill people on the offensive glass, but if I'm Illinois, I want to make sure that they're not just trying to, well, Illinois has the clear talent advantage, that you're not getting beat with a team that's just playing with more effort and all out, and more of an all out mentality. Illinois has to be really engaged. And to Duquesne's credit, they really limited one of the more prolific offenses out there in the country in BYU. And they kind of punked them. They took it to them early. They got on them early and didn't really let up, and their physicality, and they showed some pretty good athleticism. Now, I don't think that there's the more athletic team or even the more physical team in this one, but if I'm Illinois, I really think about ball toughness, just overall intensity as far as the loose ball game. And if those things play out well, I think Illinois is making that flight to Boston early next week, because the talent's there. And I think that I'd be surprised if Duquesne can score enough to beat Illinois if Illinois doesn't have kind of a crazy number of turnovers and doesn't just get annihilated in the 50-50 game.
Awesome stuff. Well, I know that you have been busy out there, but did you get a chance to catch some other hoops, especially last night? Did you get a chance to see Oakland knock off Kentucky, that team we saw back in Champaign early in November? Did you get a chance? How about the Samford, Kansas call there with like 20 seconds left? That was brutal. How much hoops were you able to see last night after you were all done with your responsibilities?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to see a lot of that Oakland-Kentucky game. We caught probably midway through the second half and on, and so Jack Golkey had already made like 7 threes by the time I was already tuned into it. But, man, that's insane. And the guy that Illinois limited, just, I think he was 2 for 6 from the field, and they played in Champaign. We knew that Oakland team was good, that they had a good amount of offensive talent. Trey Towns is a good player as well. Really like Greg Campy as a coach. Have a lot of respect for what he's done with them through the years. So, and let's be honest, I mean, it's entertaining for anybody else out there to see Kentucky go down again. So, although I will say, you know, I had a lot of fun watching Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham and that team through the year, just what they can propose offensively. But this is what people want to see this time in the calendar, is those upsets, those crazy results, and breaking brackets and whatnot. I will say that I made the mistake of thinking McNeese and Samford were both going to win, and the upset city pod didn't play out that way, but maybe it should have, to your point. Like, Samford with just a blatantly clear block. I know it's hard in real time if you're a ref, but, yeah, nothing but ball on that Nick Timberlake dunk attempt, and Samford should have had the ball back down one, and that was a hell of a comeback by Samford to even make it a game. So I know a lot of – Brad even got asked today, and actually there's an AP reporter who's asking, I think, all of the coaches, what do you make of the idea that there needs to be a coach's challenge? I think that that's a very fair point. I know there's a lot of stoppages in college basketball.
Do we need more reviews? Like, I get it, but –
Probably not, but
– If you go with that new rule, let's eliminate some of the other reviews that we have to balance it out, because I don't need any more refs looking at a monitor.
Yeah. No, I think that the coach challenge, I could see that being useful. It'd be nice to have that in case there's just some kind of egregious error. But, yeah, we don't need to go to the monitor every time to check the clock and whatnot. And am I the only one that's sick of this? I don't even know what it is. The song that they're playing into the commercial about the "I want to dance with everybody in the room" or something. I'm butchering it, but it's already.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's already getting on my nerves. But anyways, yeah, I watched FAU and Northwestern this morning. Was surprised it was that ugly of a game. But credit to Chris Collins. Real quick note, I want to throw this back to you, Kyle, and get your thoughts on. I've heard a rumor around here that Collins might be, if not the top choice, one of the top choices for Michigan. What do you think about that?
Ooh. Hmm. I mean, I think he deserves it. Now, he deserves a bigger job. I just, especially when you think about it, Northwestern, how you're going to lose so many guys, and it's already been so hard for him to recruit there, and it's always going to be hard. And he's done such an unbelievable job the last couple of years that it feels like this offseason might be the time for him to take that next step and move on to bigger things. I think he deserves it. He's a heck of a coach.
Yeah. 3 NCAA tournament appearances prior to that, obviously, for the program at 0. He's won a game every time they go into the tournament. Yeah. And he's done a great job. But yeah, buoy on the move. And it makes sense to me. I think that we talked about it briefly that, you know, for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to happen, obviously, that if Brad were to move on, I think he's kind of a sneaky name. And if Michigan goes in that direction, I think that'd be a good hire for them.
Well, thank you for your time, as always. Thanks for jumping on. Enjoy the game tomorrow. How about we get you back here next week to not only talk some Illinois hoops in studio for the first time in a while, but also book a flight to Boston for you to get you back out on the road.
That sounds good. Yeah, let's get me there Monday, and then if we are planning to go to Boston, it's going to be an early flight, I think, Tuesday morning. So I'd like to see you guys Monday, but also be packing my bags for another trip. And you enjoy watching all the games and the one tomorrow, and I hope everybody listening gets to enjoy the thrill of finally going to that 316. I certainly want to go cover one.
Yeah, me and Lon were saying we want to see you again, but we also want to see you as little as possible over the next 3 weeks, if you don't mind. So let's get you back out to Boston next week. But Derek Piper, thanks so much for hopping on, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, man. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Derek Piper on the Tapman's Towing phone line. You know the voice, the fantastic co-host of this very show. And he'll be putting some work in tomorrow in Omaha, and hopefully he'll bring back another Illini win with him, and we'll get to chat with him Monday in studio about the Illini's first Sweet 16 appearance in 19 years. Man, it's going to feel so good, man. I'm not 40 minutes to play. This is a Duquesne team that's been really red hot. You can't take anyone lightly, but man, if Illinois comes to play and the talent bears out, could be a really fun weekend and a really fun week next week, previewing some more hoops. Crossing my fingers. Hope everybody enjoys the game. 7:40 p.m. Central tip-off tomorrow night from Omaha. And we will be back here, all three of us, Lon, Derek, and myself, will be back on Monday to talk about it all. But until then, hope everybody has a fantastic weekend of watching some basketball. It is The Drive.